Slacker and Steve on demand.
There are a couple stories of people sticking it to the man.
These are awesome
Have
people.
You ever, I feel like I've stuck it to the man, but I don't feel like I remember sticking it to the man. But I feel like I've won it.
Right.
I think everybody wants to believe they've won a victory over the man.
Stuck it to the man.
But, this dude is in New York State. He's been in a battle with people. He's got a he owns a place called the Big Indian Smoke Shop, and it's on the I would never be able to say that.
It's on the res.
Cataraugus. Cataraugus.
Pretty.
It's a res. And he has been fighting. He wants like people to have access to his business, and it, like he's fighting with the state or whatever, and it's not happening. Well, it turns out on Indian reservation land, like you don't have to get permits and stuff from the government.
Right.
So he just started building an off-ramp to the highway directly to the front door of his business.
Literally. That's what he is doing.
And they're like, no, you got to get agency approval. So he's like,
we're on the res.
But I don't.
Yeah.
Because
rules are different on the res.
And there's nothing they can do.
There isn't.
Well, I mean,
yeah. So this thing, and he's got construction workers out there. They're
if he can afford to build an off ramp of their interstate, it's like, dude, I'm sorry, your interstate's going through my res, and I think that is one of the most fine examples
it's like
of
gang. Because apparently he was mad because he got fined millions of dollars about tobacco on the reservation and not following rules. And he's like, no, I followed all the rules. You guys are in the wrong.
My dad used to order cigarettes off the reservation.
Dude, everyone used to. When I lived on Cape Cod, tobacco was so expensive that the number one thing that UPS drivers hauled around Cape Cod
was cigarettes.
Cartons and cartons.
Seriously?
From the res. Yes.
Yeah, but they weren't brand names, right? I think my dad was smoking. It's not like you could get. He was a Pall Mall guy.
So, yeah, those secondary brands.
Yeah, it was like a weird brand name that I'd never seen before. And yep. He'd always have a carton in the freezer, and I was like, what is that?
That's where I keep mine. Keep some fresh longer, Slacker.
There it is. So that guy stuck it to the man. There's a Michigan student who filled a pothole with, it looked like Lucky Charms. Was it Lucky Charms? It was. And a gallon of milk, and he's eating. Now, that's something, I think you've done that one, right?
Yeah, it was Cocoa Puffs. We did it years and years ago on a morning show. We had a huge potholes out in front of our radio station. So in protest, we went ahead and laid some plastic garbage bags in the hole.
Smart.
Filled it up with Cocoa Puffs. And then a bunch of milk, and we had listeners all sit around the hole and with their spoons, like eating.
And then eventually, when it gets enough press, they go, oh, crap, we got to fill the Cocoa Puff hole.
Cocoa Puff hole. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
You're right. That's a good band name, man.
Cocoa Puff hole.
Cocoa Puff hole. Genre?
Wow, that's a good question.
I feel like they're kind of ska punk.
Ska punk.
Yeah, Cocoa Puff hole. I think this one's going to have double things for me. It's also going to become my safe word.
Cocoa Puff hole! Cocoa Puff hole!
It actually sounds like I want more, doesn't it? Okay. So those are two people who were able to stick it to the man. Now, here's a few more. And like, if you've pulled something like this off, I'm talking about anything. Like, your Dyson vacuum crapped out on you, and you try to take it back to Target, and they said no or whatever, and you ended up driving to the factory and pounding on the door, and that gray-haired dude came out and handed you a Dyson Animal, like, brand-new prototype.
Well, they're located in London, so that might be
it's a hard drive.
Well,
you hit the Bering Strait and come down. Got to drive up to Alaska.
I got to hop the Aleutian Islands to get up to the Bering.
Didn't say you drove though. Maybe you're on a ferry for a little while.
Okay, that's cool.
You got your car to London and pounded it. Are they really based out of?
They're in Europe somewhere. Yeah.
All right. So here's somebody else who stuck it to the man. A musician named Dave Carroll. I remember this story. He had a guitar, like. I remember it because his guitar was like my guitar. He had the $3,500 beautiful Taylor.
Was it that Alcoa? Guitar. Alcoa wood one?
Alcoa is the people who recycle aluminum. Alcoa is the wood from Hawaii.
Okay, now.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, the Alcoa.
Wasn't there an Alcoa commercial when we were young? Was like,
you made
Yes, Alcoa.
Yes.
You make the call. While running down the. Oh, my God.
Sorry.
You know what's great? Even we stopped listening. Like, honest to God, like I stopped paying attention to this show about 90 seconds ago.
Okay.
And at this point, I'm just like, I'm going to have a stream of consciousness about watching football games when I was young with my dad.
Sweet.
So anyway, Alcoa guitar, United Airlines broke it. And broke it.
Question.
Yes.
First of all, would you be flying at that altitude with a precious guitar? No. Second of all,
you have to.
the glue is not good for it. Second of all, would you check it and make sure it's packed underneath with everyone else's bowling balls?
Here's the deal. You do these things where you go, you're flying with kids, how come we have to... Like, sometimes you have to get somewhere, and if you're a musician, sometimes you have to get somewhere with your guitar. And so you have to sometimes put it on a plane. And if they don't have enough room in the overhead, it's packed, you got to gate check it, and you're like, yeah, even he had a flight case, I think, but they still honked it up.
Okay.
I trust me, I never flew with my good ones.
Good.
See? My favorite ones were always on a bus.
Yeah, leave your equipment on the tour bus and then you fly.
So what happened was they ignored him for so long. He wrote a song called United Breaks Guitars, uploaded it to YouTube. It got about 4 million views. And I'm not saying they're related, but United stock dropped 10% that week.
Which is huge.
Cost him $180 million.
Because of Alcoa wood.
Yes. You can bet United execs went to Hawaii, chopped down a few trees, and made guitars for this fool. I was like, you want some extra guitars? We chopped down the wood ourselves.
Here we can
you write, yes. Can you write a song called United Makes Guitars now?
We make good on our...
God. I mean, that is somebody...
That's cool. No, he stuck it to the man.
The other one that I really like, and I don't think it works in the United States, but this guy was getting all these, you know, the telemarketer calls.
Yeah.
And apparently in England... you can change your number to a premium line, which is like a 1-8, like a chat line or whatever.
Okay.
So it costs people to call you.
Yeah, that's it.
£10 per minute is what it was getting him. So when a telemarketer would call, he'd be like, well, hello. He'd engage him forever.
Yes.
And
keep him on the line.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
And they didn't know.
And they didn't realize until it's like, hey, did you call some sex line? No, I called like this dude, Lee Beaumont of Leeds. And it charged all the until they all took him. Like, they made their own do not call list. Don't call that dude.
It was simply brilliant. That was awesome.
That's taking on the man. So in whatever way you have, you don't have to drive all the way to London to beat down the Dyson guy's door. If you've taken on the man in any way, we'd love to hear your story. Kelly?
Yay.
Stick it to the man.
All right. I took on JPMorgan Chase over flood insurance and won.
What?
How did you do that?
Okay, so when MetLife got in all that trouble, JPMorgan Chase ended up buying my paper. Well, when I initially bought the place, I didn't need flood insurance. JPMorgan Chase sends me a letter, tells me I need it. I say, no, I'm not in the floodplain. So then I call FEMA. FEMA doesn't have my property on record in any way. So I call a survey crew. All right, I'm 6 feet above the floodplain. I hire an attorney, and then I send all of the bills for the survey crew and the attorney to JPMorgan Chase, and they paid it.
Kelly!
I would have just went and got it. I know
too.
I don't need it, but I'm just
exactly.
like...
Exactly, but she went and hired attorneys and surveyors and...
Especially when you're going against Chase.
Yeah.
That's, I mean...
Well, and FEMA now knows that I'm not in the floodplain.
Good for you!
Yeah, boy, you were smart. The trail that you...
I mean, and you got your money back, and then I'm sorry, JP. They're so big. You just don't take on that man.
No, I just go ahead. Whatever you need.
I'll just take it.
Yes.
Wow. Valerie.
Yay.
How'd you stick it to the man?
Okay, so my bosses where I work are kind of jerks, and they make us split tips no matter how many tips we make. So, like, if I made $100 in a night in tips and my coworker made, like, $10-$15, I had to split it with her, right?
Nothing makes me more angry than that. When I get exceptional service from somebody, I want you to have it. I don't want you to give it to the bartender, to the DJ. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Amen.
But I love what you did for me. That I want you to have it.
Yeah.
Okay, so they were running this coupon special online where you could get 50% off your entire bill. And what I did was I applied that coupon code to every single table for like a week. We all did it at work, and it threw them out of so much money.
Holy smokes.
That's diabolical. You're like, wow, everybody's got this coupon, I guess. Our advertising works. Nobody paid full price for a week.
Wow.
Nobody.
That's good for you.
So it's a little mini strike, but like they don't know. It's like, hey, if you'd let us keep our tips, we could stop this 50% off thing.
Yes.
Exactly. We totally would.
Well played.
That's
pretty smart.
Can we come in later and get that coupon applied to our bar tab?
Hell yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call. Brittany?
Yay.
Stuck it to the man.
So in college, I was a poor student, ended up finding a dog on the street. 6 months later, she got picked up by the pound. It was going to cost $450 to get her back. I left her in there for a few more days. I put her up for adoption. I readopted her for $50.
Oh, my God.
That is awesome.
That is brilliant.
Who would have thought of that?
Nobody but you.
Oh, my
that
God,
is
Brittany.
So dang.
You run the risk of somebody else
just
adopting your
a
dog.
A little bit.
But
make sure he looks mangy in there so no one wants to. Okay. They overlook
well,
him.
Yeah. I called them. She wasn't chipped. She was in heat, all this stuff. Poor college kid found a dog. Anyhow, I called them back again saying, hey, can I potentially adopt this dog? She had a collar on. They said, well, we have to wait 3 days in case the owner calls and wants her back. I was like, okay, cool.
That's not going to be happening.
3 days later, they called me back and I adopted her.
Brittany, how cool.
This is my favorite thing. Like,
right?
I think those places that have dogs and they do that, they're doing great work.
Awesome,
but it's like,
work.
If they are charging too much and it's cheaper to just adopt it later.
Work the system. That's their system. You just work
it,
Brittany.
You play within their rule set. You stuck it to them. Thank you, Brittany.
Nice. Slacker.